Rabbi, so let's begin. Today I want to do something we have not done in a few weeks. We have not done this in a few weeks. I want to go through with you the parasha, some interesting midrashim, some strange things that you may not be aware about that I have harvested from the Sefer Oitzer Pilo Sator. We have not done this, I think, at least in 3 or 4 weeks. So let's try to cover the entire parasha, some things that have caught my attention very quickly. Just run through them quickly. First thing, we have over here Yaakov Avinu, he yotza mibeer sheva. Yaakov Avinu was misakin tilas ma'arif. Which ma'arif during the year is the most chashuv ma'arif? What would you answer? Is there one? Yeah, so that's a good question. Is there one? Which ma'arif is the most chashuv ma'arif throughout the entire year? What would you say? Which ma'arif? Well, the answer has to be, well, when? Who was the one who established ma'arif? And when did he establish the ma'arif? Well, we know from this week's parish, one of the major themes of this week's parish is Tfilas Ma'arif was established by Yaakov Avinu. By Yifka Bamokoyim. Yaakov, what?
When was that?
So the Medrash says that took place the night of Pesach. Lel Pesach, the first night of Pesach. And that is why, is Lel Pesach called Lel Shimurim? What was the bracha that Hashem gave Yaakov Avinu? Ushmarticha b'chol asher telech. The first time Hashem told Yaakov Avinu, I'm going to guard you, was in that night when he lied and he went to sleep, when he established Ma'arif. So therefore, it's a very fascinating thing. The night of Pesach is a very special Ma'arif. Person should not make light of the chashivas of davening ma'ariv night of Pesach. That's what he said.
And
that's what was established. Yaakov Avinu was established by Yifka Bamokoim on the night of Pesach. The Medrash says the event by Yifka Bamokoim by Yom Balelahu. He fell asleep. Hashem appeared to him. Hashem gave him the bracha. Ushmartichem chol asher telech. Vashivosicha alcho adama hazos. It took place the night of Pesach. So then, when you come to the night of Pesach, you should realize this is the anniversary of the establishment of the Tefillah of Ma'arif. He did not say the whole night of the Seder. What's very interesting is this is a very interesting thing. You would think that being that there is some truth to this, that you know it's the first time the Ma'arif was established, it's the most chashuv, you would think you would do it right. What would mean, how would you do it right? You would wait the Zman. We're very makel. We dive in Ma'arif many times before the Zman. What? Not really. Shavuos, Tamimos. Even if you start Ma'arif 20 minutes before Shkia, by the time you finish Ma'arif, and you say Hallel, and you come home, and you put on your kittel, and you say around the Seder, you're not going to be making Kiddush until it's way after Shkia. So I know, because I know my father was a Rav, I know that there's a lot of pressure, especially now that we've changed the clock. Now it's never going to happen anymore until they make a new law to change back daylight savings time. It's never going to happen anymore. It's always going to be late in the Kandul Haba. And in the past, it was 50-50. What? It was 50-50. In the olden days, before they changed the law of daylight savings time, it was 50-50. Half the time, they didn't change the clock. Sometimes they didn't change the clock. Okay, but now they always change the clock. And people who have young children, they put a lot of pressure on the rabbi. And every shul, let's get this over with. Let's dive in Ma'arif as early as possible, because my kids, I have little children, and they prepared for this. They have all their sheets in the pebalach. There's no problem. But you would think that since this is the anniversary of the very first Ma'arif, and it's typical for a person on the anniversary, you do it right. So it's mohudr. Everyone agrees there's a hiddur in davening Ma'arif b'zman. No, you're not going to agree with that. There's a hiddur. Well, 50 minutes after Shkia.
The Seder came early, right?
Why?
Hashem, but
that's not the way it's interpreted. Hashem made it dark early. Okay, let's go to the next. Okay, let's go further. Kefitzas haderech. Okay, Yaakov Avinu had kefitzas haderech. Okay, this is an interesting idea. I mean, this is just a collection of short ideas. In the Gemara, we have Avuah de Shmuel. Why was he called by the name the father of Shmuel? Just call him by his name. His name, we know what his name was. His name was, do I have it over here? We know, okay, I can't find it. His name, okay, I can't even find his name now. But we know who he was. The Gemara says he had a name. Why the Halakha Amora Shmuel is always called by the name Avua de Shmuel? So some want to say simply because that Shmuel was much greater Talmud Chacham than his father. So the yichus of the father was the son. Not so terrible. A person is jealous of everyone in this world except for his own children. So his father was very happy. I don't have my own yichus. My own yichus is my son. Gevaldik. Not so terrible. However, there's a much more interesting reason. And that's because the Shmuel's father once was traveling on business far, far away. And he came across a woman who was a magician, who was Isaac in Nichosh, and she wanted to pay him. She met him in an inn, and she wanted to give him an enormous amount of money, millions of dollars, to sin with her. He was willing to pay her all this money. So Avud Shmuel, he had this nisayon, and he said to her, "My high, why are you willing to give me so much money? I'm not exactly the best looking man in town. what do you want from me?" So she says, "I see my crystal ball that if you will father a child tonight, this child will be basically the Gadol Hadar." I don't know what term she used, but will be conquer the world. So Avuah Shmuel realized that he was a very holy person, obviously, that something big was meant to happen. So it says here that he went, again, I warn you in advance, disclaimer, this is an off the beaten track, this is a safer. He said some shame Hashem, and he miraculously found Kfitzas Haderech. He found himself back home in his hometown, and he was in the stavig with his wife. He was with his wife that night, and she became pregnant. And then he went back where he came from. Problem was, all the people in the town said, "How come she's pregnant? He's on business. He went away for a year, and those days he didn't come back. There were no frequent flyer miles. You're not coming back so fast." So they suspected her of being mezaneh, and this was a pegima on the yichus of Shmuel. Until it took a very long time, but I don't know all the details. But they were able to clarify that they did that he was Avua de Shmuel, and that is why every time you have the one, he appears very more often than not. He appears all over Shas. You learn that Afiyam, you'll have Avua de Shmuel. The reason why he's called Avua de Shmuel was because there was suspicion. He was suspect that Shmuel was not legitimate, and it had to be proven that it was Avua de Shmuel. All this came about through Kfitzas Haderech. The roots of Kfitzas Haderech are found in this week's parsha as well. You have it by Eliezer as well. Eliezer's Haderech, but this parsha is a major source of Kfitzas Haderech. Yaakov Avinu, he wanted to travel all the way to Beisel, and then when he realized that he passed over the Beis Hamikdash, he had Charata. Hashem miraculously brought him to the Beis Hamikdash, the Har HaMoriah, in order that he can dive into Kfitzas Haderech. And Avuah de Shmuel is one very interesting example of Kfitzas Haderech. Okay, let's go to another idea. Who are the malachim? Very interesting. Who are the malachim that went up the ladder? Yaakov Avinu had a vision, had a chalom, and the chalom he saw the malachim oilim v'yardim bo. Who are the malachim? Who are the malachim that were going up? So some say the malachim were the malachim that destroyed Sodom. They destroyed Sodom. They were not allowed to return to Shemam. Why? Because of the gaiva. They said, "Kimashisma nachnu." It's us. It's not the Ribbonish. So they were banished. For how many years? Why was this, by the way? 138. Now, finally, they were allowed to come back up to Shemayim. Others say these malachim were the Nephilim. Yeah.
Based on, because it says Olim v'Yardim Bo, it should say Yardim v'Olim if they're Malachim. Right. That's what begins right. The Medrash. So why were they going up and down? Because they were here.
They already were down here. They're already down. So now they're returning where they came from. Okay, another very bizarre Medrash. Esoteric Medrash, why are they going up and down? Everyone knows that Malachim have wings, right? Who doesn't know this? They're wings, right? What's going on? So, Enechnaimi, some Taka said, I once gave this answer, I saw this answer in the Chosha Sefer, that they were children, they were young, their wings are not yet developed, whatever that means. Okay, they didn't know how to use their wings, exactly. They didn't, yeah. But another very interesting Medrash, a very good Kasha, it's a very good Shtaka Kasha, how come they were not going up with their wings? So, the answer given is, these were the Nefil. Nephilim. What happened with the Nephilim? The Nephilim, they lost their wings. Why did they lose their wings? They were Malach HaVala Azav HaZael. They came, they were the Nephilim. They came down during the Dor Enosh and Cain, and they saw this beautiful woman, this beautiful girl. They desired to have relations with this... And what happened was this girl, this Medrash says, she said, "What are you going to give me?" She tricked them. "What are you going to give me? You want to sin with me?" The Malachim said to this girl, "What are you going to give me?" So she said, "Okay, I'll tell you what. You give me your wings. Give me your wings. Then I'll do what you want." So okay, it's Kedai. So they took off their wings, they gave it to her, and she outsmarted them. She took those wings and she flew to Shemayim. She took the shot, she didn't come down. She flew to Shemayim. What?
Definitely not from a conventional source.
It's from the Rosh. Believe it or not, the Parish Rosh, the Parish Bereshis, Kosav Dover Nifla. Everything in the Sefer, everything in the Sefer. He begins here, everything is Kosav Dover Nifla. He says that expression a billion times in this Sefer. Every paragraph begins. Shahamalachim Sha'alul Musulam Hoyushne Malach Avola Azav Azom Nanafilim. Give me your wings. This is the Rosh, not even a Medrash. I don't know where he gets this from.
I've heard
the Rosh.
I don't buy it at all.
Shamayim. And they were stranded. Shamayim. She never came down. She never came down. She's missing. She's on the milk. On the milk cartons. Missing child. In the milk cartons, missing children. Amber alert. Where did she go? She stole the wings. She went to Shemayim. And these two malachim, they were stranded. Okay, they were stranded without wings. And finally now they had a ladder. They were able to ascend to Shemayim. Okay, let's go to another idea. I want to run out of time. Okay. Okay. Okay, I told you. I warned you in advance. This is off the beaten track. Okay, listen to now. If you want to hear something bizarre, listen to this. Ulam Luz Shem Hoyer Larishaina. Luz, right? We've learned here from this parish the Luz bone. The Luz bone. By the way, where is the Luz bone? Someone would say it's the ken where you put the Keshashal Tfilin with the Dalit. When the Dalit is going on the back of you, on the neck, on the Urif, it's right in deep down in the brain, there's a little teeny bone, a microscopic bone called the Luz bone. Now, there's a Sefer. I don't know the Sefer. I want to get the Sefer. It's called the Beis Yisrael HaShalem Al Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. I got to get it. We got to learn this. What is the, who wrote this? It says, Chibur HaGoyim Rabbi Yisrael Bar David Yisachar Tugis Zatzal. Tugis. Tes Vav Yud Samach Yud Gimel. Rav Veroish Tosik. You know who he is? You know him? You know him? Rav Veroish Mesifta the Matestorf. Matestorf. The Achar Kach Beir HaKodesh Yerushalayim. Okay. He wrote a sefer on Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. I really searched far and wide to come up with all the Sfarim on Kitzur. There are very few Sfarim on Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. There are not that many. And he writes in the beginning of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, when he talks about the laws of tefillah, when should a person get up to daven? And he quotes here this very bizarre thing called Davar Nifla, right? Davar Nifla. B'shem Sfarim, no source. Okay, no source. That you're supposed to get up 2 hours before davening. You explain to me what this means. It's not like we do today, you just float from the bed into davening in 10 seconds. What? Shachas. He says 2 hours. 1 hour is not enough. 2 hours.
It doesn't necessarily. They make preparations 1 hour. But together,
okay, why 2 hours? Like I told you, I warned you in advance. Don't have complaints. I warned you in advance. It's not for the light, but the faint of heart. Because even though when a person wakes up, his whole body wakes up, it takes the luz bone 2 hours to wake up. And therefore, because you want to be Mekayim, Kol atzmosai tamar noka, all of my bones have to participate in tefillah. You got to give time for the loose bone to wake up. Okay, that's a little bizarre. If that's not bizarre, then I don't know what is. Okay.
Well, that's what Tai Chi is.
Okay. Let's jump ahead. Okay, I thought this was a Hasidish of art, but it's not. It's really a Medrash Rabbah. Pasuk says, you mentioned this today, Vayishak Yaakov L'Rachel Vayises Kula Vayefk. Yaakov, he saw Rachel, he kissed her, and then he cried. Why did he cry? Rashi says, because he's not going to be buried with her. That's what it says in Rashi. Rashi chose not to quote the Medrash. Medrash Rabbah, Perik Ayin, Pasuk Yibayz, Section Yibayz, because Yaakov Avinu kissed her for very lofty reasons. We have no hasaga why he kissed her, but he knew that everyone would come along and make litzanis of him, would suspect him. That's what it says in the Medrash. That's what it says in the Medrash Rabbah. Medrash Rabbah, Lefi Shero Yaakov Shanoshim Melachashim Eilu Le'elu B'mnesh Nosak Esrachal V'yamu Ma Bozel Chadish Lanu Dvar Erva. He's coming over here to teach us about Arayos. Look at him. He goes and he kisses girls. What kind of business is there for a mature man to go kiss a young child? So he was Yaakov Avinu knew this. And Yaakov Avinu, nevertheless, he felt that it was the right thing to do to kiss his relative, who will ultimately become his wife. He kissed her. And because he knew that people will be mirachish, will be mirachish, that is why he cried. Unbelievable. Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel, vayisa eskola vayef. The reason why he cried, besides pshat, Rashi quotes, he's not going to be buried with, was because he knew that people would suspect him for ulterior motives, advar rayas, and that is why he cried. Okay.
But it says by Reuven that koichi v'rayshis.
I don't know. It's a very difficult thing. But chla, when you read to children, I mean, you go teach children in elementary school, you learn that we're doing the Parashas Vayetze. He kissed Rachel. Right away, children know, what? What is going on here? Right? It's a very difficult...
It's by Reuven, it says, Koichi Vereshi Zayin. You never had a seminal omission. You never had bit.
Obviously, the Emos are very holy people. Okay, let's go to another idea. And this is a very interesting idea. We know that Be'enei Leah Rakos, the eyes of Leah were Rakos. What does it mean, Rakos? So the Targum and the Das Kainim, they tell us it means she had beautiful eyes. Rakos means beautiful. Leah had Yifas Toyar, had a beautiful form, but Rachel had eyes that were more beautiful than Leah. The Ene Leah Rakos. Rashi does not quote this Targum. Rashi says that her eyes cries. She said she has eyes that were tender. Why? Because she cried. Why did she cry? She knew she was destined for Esav, and she found that Tiva, the nature of Esav, is a rush. She did not want to fall into Esav's hands. She cried. Okay, we have a very down here. Here he says over here, beautiful Vart. This is more of a Mustig of Vart. We have here, who does he quote this from? Perish Harash. No, I'm not even sure he's quoting this from. I have to go through a whole thing over here. But the question is, why in Sefer Rus did the people present give Rus and Boaz the bracha? Vayomru kol ha'am asher b'shar v'hazikeinim eidim. They gave her a beautiful bracha. Yitin Hashem es ha'isha haba el beisecha ki rochel uchaleya asher banu shteyem espes Yisrael. Every father gives his daughter Friday night a bracha. Yisimech Elokim kisara Rivka Rachel v'Leia. So what's wrong with that bracha? Achayseinu at hayil yalfei revava v'yir zareich. What's wrong with that bracha? Why here did they give her a bracha? Did they give Rus a new bracha, a new bracha? They didn't say Yisimech Elokim. They didn't say Achayseinu. They gave a bracha kirachel l'leia sherbanu shteim espes Yisrael. So the answer is because here they're focusing on, it doesn't answer the question entirely, but the Rachel has something unique. They both cried. They both cried for Klal Yisrael. Rachel cried, Ki Rachel mevaka al boneha. She gave up this simonim, and in that sechus, she was able to, we guarantee to have a bayis shlishi. He is schar lepulosech. The pasuk, shuvanim. And we have Rachel, Leah also cried. because Leah wanted Leah Rakos. She also, since these two, they share in common the idea of crying for Klal Yisrael, for their desire to be part of Klal Yisrael, Asher Banu Shtem. That's how he learns here, and maybe it's the Mechaber the Sefer, that's why Bedafka, these two are matched together. You don't find sorrow crying for Klal Yisrael, and you don't find Rivka crying for Klal Yisrael, and maybe they cry, but you don't find the match. The only two where it explicitly says the mother cried for the children, Rachel and Leah, and that's why they're mentioned specifically in this passage. It's very interesting idea. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, now this is really bizarre. This is very, very bizarre. Very interesting. This is a Malbim. The Malbim says something. I challenge you to find if this is true in the world of science today. Okay, there are people today who are trying to have children. And doesn't always go. We know Baruch Hashem, technology has advanced to such a degree where they can do today the impossible. But it wasn't always so simple. And person go to a doctor, everything is fine, and just for some reason, there's really no explanation. The Malbim says that, he says, Kosa Dova Nifla, the shame Chachmei HaTeva, in the name of scientists, that if a husband and wife get along too well, if there's too much love between a husband and wife, this can cause a problem, a fertility issue. Such a thing? You ever seen such a thing before? Bizarre as can possibly be, right? Too much love. There's no tainus. They love each other too much. And he learns, that's the pshat. The Malbim says, this is what doctors have told him. If the husband and wife, they're in love with each other to an extreme, that can prevent them physically or whatever this means. So it says, the Malbim says, that's the pshat in the pasuk. It says in the pasuk, Vayehav Yaakov es Rachel. Yaakov loved Rachel. Okay, where's the whole pasuk? Let me go over here. I'll give me 1 second. Let me jump ahead. Vayehav Yaakov es Rachel. And because the pasuk goes on to say, Vayrachel akara. And that's why Rachel wasn't akara, because there was too much love. So what happened? Rachel complained. Vayichar af Yaakov b'Rachel. Then when she complained, he got angry. And Mike sivachakach v'tahar v'teled bein. A pillar. Right, Vela. Now, one thing is very interesting. This right away caught my attention, because let's go back to the model shidduch. Who's the model shidduch? Yitzchak and Rivka. You go study the parasha of shidduchim. You want to focus on what is the ultimate royal couple in Klal Yisrael? Yitzchak and Rivka. Did Yitzchak and Rivka get along? Well, there was a very big disagreement.
They didn't daven together.
There was no greater disagreement between husband and wife than Rivka and Yitzchak. Who should get the brachas? Who should get the brachas? Should Yaakov get the brachas? Should Yitzchak get the brachas? And that, obviously, and that difference between Rivka and Yitzchak is what produced. I don't know, but it's an interesting idea how we learn Shah in the pasuk. Okay, let's go now to Bilhah and Zilpah. How many imos are there? Everyone, you ask, what kind of question is that? Chesh HaChazal, Ein Karn Limos Ela Arba. There are three avos and there are four imos. Ein Karn Limos Ela Arba. Problem is, there are conflicting midrashim which tell us that there are six imos. In fact, there is Sheish Eglois Tzav. It's a Medrash Rabbah in Chumash Ram, six Eglois covered wagons. Eglois Tzav, Chazal Darish, and this post, the six wagons that are covered, refer to the six emails. Right. Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah. The gift. Six. Okay, and then there are then Shlomo HaMelech, another medish, had six. There were six steps leading up to the kisei, at the kisei, the throne. Why were there six steps? The medish says, connected the six emails. So you have a stira.
That's just one of the reasons, but yeah.
One of the, so we have a are there six emos or are there four emos? So obviously yesh v'yesh, but he wants to say over here and from the Ritva. The Ritva say, I think the Ritva appears to ask the question of Amistaf Memvav, Mamash only a few days ago, Daf Memvav, Amid Aleph, and the Ritva says, that this principle, she'ein karli mos el arba, is only in the koyach of tefillah. That when you daven, this is very interesting, because we very rarely in davening make reference to the mos. And Shon Esrei, okay, Avraham, okay, Yitzchak, okay, Yaakov. If you want to be mispalta, Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the zuchus, zuchor li Avraham li Yitzchak li Yaakov. When you want to be mispalta, because you want to make demands from Kadosh Baruch Hu, in the zuchus, you're only allowed to invoke the zuchus of the four mos. Sarah, women, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. You have no right in the Koyach HaTfilah. It's a very interesting idea. I don't know what this means. To be Ribbono Shel Olam, save us in the Zechus. Oh, so you make those Mishaberachs are something that's very recent. Those are modern Mishaberachs. Where do you have in the traditional Nusach HaTfilah mention of even the Imos? You have somewhere? I don't even know where you have. We do say this in the Kelmole. That's one of the older types of Tfilos. You say in the Zechus you mention the Imos. You mention Sara, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. But other than that, I don't recall
reading of Torah.
I don't recall anywhere where you say Zachar li Avraham litzach li Yaakov. You have a pasuk where you say Zachar li Sarah Rivka Rachel Valea. But it's the Ritva who's a Rishon says that there is such a thing that when you mispalel, you remind the Kadosh Baruch Hu of the zechus of the imos. You're only allowed to invoke the zechus of the four imos. You're not allowed to put in that category bila v'zilpa. But when you want to look back in history and you want to say who are the imos of Klal, who do we give credit to? We give credit to four women, Sarah, including bila v'zilpa. You know Barzel. When you want to talk about the concept Barzel, it's always a Rosh Tevos. The middle of Barzel is bila, Zilpa, Leah, and Rachel. Okay, so this is, let's go to, now what about, quick idea, you probably will know this, what were the simonim that Yaakov gave to Rachel was Nida, Chala, this is a trivia question, Nida, Chala, Hadlaka, Saner. Those are the key code words to prove that she was the correct wife. Okay, who were, okay, let me jump ahead. Just give me 1 second. Okay, interesting idea. Who exactly was Bilhah and Zilpah? This is totally new to me. This is just the idea. Who were they? Who exactly were they? So let me tell you. Let me tell you. He brings out the yichus. Just interesting to know this. The yichus is as follows. There was a person whose name was Achoisi. That was a male. Who was Achoisi? Achoisi was the brother of Devorah. Who was Devorah? The nurse of Rivka. Who was her yichus? I don't know who her yichus was. But Devorah was the nurse of Rivka. Devorah had a brother. His brother's name was Achoisi. His brother married her Achoisi. Who are you initially? Okay, this person was captured, was taken captive by bandits, and was brought to the city of Zilpah. Okay, this is all very interesting thing. There was a city, an ancient city called Zilpah. And this person, Achoisi, who is the brother of Devorah, was taken a captive. Lavan, like this guy, Lavan got along very well with this person, Achoisi, and he went to the city of Zilpah, and he redeemed him. When he redeemed him, he gave her in marriage to his own Shifcha. Lavan had a Shifcha maidservant. His name was, guess what her name was? Chava. Just like the first woman, he had names that repeated names. Lavan had a Shifcha by the name of Chava. Lavan gave his own maidservant Chava to his friend Achosi, who happened to be the brother of Devorah Mineket Rivka. And she had two children. They had two children together. Chava and Achosi together had two children. The first child they named Zilpah in memory of the fact that he was a captive and he survived the ordeal of being a captive in the city called Zilpah. And the second one he called Bila. Why did he call Bila? This is another idea I never heard before. Because when she was born, she was frightened to nurse from her mother. Every time they tried to feed her, she was in a state of Bahala, of confusion. When they tried to feed her, she was frightened. She was a very, very scared child. So they called her Bila. They said, why are you afraid to nurse? Ma buhula biti. Why are you so afraid to nurse from your mother? What happened later? So now it comes out from this. What does it come out from this? The Chiddush Halacha. They were sisters. Bila and Zilpah weren't just two maidservants. They were sisters.
They were considered the daughters of Lavan,
and they were
the maidservant.
And this was Lavan's the daughters of the maidservant, and that means that when Yaakov Avinu married sisters, Yaakov married sisters twice. Not only did he marry Bila, Rachel, and Leah, he also married Bila and Zilpah, which are also sisters. So Yaakov Avinu, when he married, so we talk about Yaakov, he was not able to come. This is a very interesting question because there's a very famous Ramban. The Ramban said, I think it's the Ramban, that when Yaakov Avinu came back to Eretz Yisrael, Rachel died on the road.
Right.
Why did Rachel die on the road? Because you're coming into Eretz Yisrael, you can't come in with two sisters.
Right.
But what about Bila and Zilpah? Bila and Zilpah were also sisters. It's Sarah Chiyengav. And it doesn't say anywhere that they died. One of them died. So this is a Tzorich in Gadol Okay, so this is okay. That I thought was interesting. Okay, let's go. This is called Oitzer Poloya Satira.
Who's this by?
It's all the newspapers.
Zicherman.
Zev Zicherman.
Maybe
Art School
could do it in English.
No, wouldn't sell. Okay, this is another interesting part. Why did you hide? Why Yaakov had a complaint against Yaakov? Why did he sneak out surreptitiously from the city and did not allow him even to kiss his own children? So we treads Lama Nichbesi, why did you hide? Livrach, to run away, Vatignoiv Osi, and you stole yourself Osi from me. He quotes here the Peirush Rabbeinu Ephraim. Okay, that's a Rishain. Who's Rabbeinu Ephraim? He's one of the Rishainim. He says, Kosav, what do you think he's gonna write here? Dover Nifla. What else? I told you. I always laugh every time. Every paragraph begins with, how many times can you say that word? Davar Nifla. What is the Davar Nifla? That there was a minog in Aram Naharayim. Lavan was the sheriff. Lavan was the sheriff, and it was a gated city. And if you want to leave, you don't just leave. You need a visa to leave. You need an exit pass to leave. You need an exit pass. You have a simon to leave. And it was encrypted. This wasn't something that you could just this time get away with. When you want to come to the gate of the city, you want to leave, they would right away suspect, why are you leaving? Did you commit a crime? Are you trying to flee the country? Are you in trouble? Why are you trying to leave the country? What did you do? So they would right away interrogate him, and they would check out his records. And in order to leave, before you would want to leave the country, you would have to go to town hall and get a license to leave, get a pass to leave. So Yaakov Avinu knew he would never get a pass. Yaakov Avinu wants to leave. He would go to town hall to get my pass to leave. Yaakov, you want to leave? Why do you want to leave? They would do an interrogation. They would go to Lavan, the Shver. He's not going nowhere. And certainly the one that issued the stamp was Lavan himself. Lavan would never stamp his passport or the pass to leave. So what did Yaakov Avinu do? He stole the stamp. He stole the ois. So when he came to
the
you can't make the stuff up. You can't make this up. No, so Rachel Taka stole the trophim. But Yaakov also was a ganav. Yaakov, he stole the stamp. And that's, he says, the simple pshat in the pasuk. Don't translate the word "osi." You stole me. You stole yourself from me. You stole the sign, the os. You stole osi, my signs. Osi is the shorish of osi, means a sign. You stole the stamp. Lama nichbeisa livroyach vatignoiv osi. You stole the stamp. So when you got to the border, you showed, "I have a passport. The passport is stamped. I can leave the country." This was the taina. This is pshat from a rishon. Not like this is mamish pshat. Rabbeinu are firing with pshat on the pasuk.
Does it say that Yaakov gave it back to him?
It doesn't say. Okay. One. Okay.
You changed the stamp.
Okay. One last thing. He has here an elaboration. Not going to go into the details. There are a lot of things. We'll just finish up with this last thing. Is he has a very a nice elaboration on the inyan of kissing. Okay, something you know, I talk about in this generation, the kiss. Because in this week's parasha, he says, "Vlo nitashtani lenashin." They have a lot of kissing. There's a good topic to talk about in this week's parasha. You get a big crowd. It's a good title. There's more to brisk.
Use it for Friday night that you're
there's more to brisk. They don't have titles. There's more to brisk than tea. Kissing in halacha. Ooh. you'll have a big crowd, I guarantee you. Kissing in halacha. So it said in this week's parasha. There's a lot of kissing in this week's parasha. There is Yaakov, he kisses Rachel, and Lavan is a good topic for a drasha. Lavan says to Yaakov, "You v'lo nitashtani l'nashek l'bonai v'livnosai." Okay, so what is the of kissing? So this, he just quotes something he brings out from the Rambam. The Rambam, who's the Rambam's Rebbe? The Rambam was the Rin Nagash. Is there anyone that is more sacred than the Rambam? It's hard to imagine. Finding someone that a legend. It's hard really to imagine someone greater than the Rambam. But the Rambam had a Rebbe, which means that the Rebbe is even greater than him. Who's the Rebbe of the Rambam? It's primarily the Rimigash. The Rambam writes, he was present at the time when the Rimigash died, and the Rimigash kissed him. And the Rambam writes, he kissed him on his hand. And the Rambam says, that everything that he went, well, the Rambam then was, I mean, he was 7 years old. He was 7 years old at the time the Rimigash died, and he was present, and the Rimigash kissed the Rambam. The Rambam, it's everything that he was zoicha to in his life was only because of the kiss of the Rimigash. We really don't have any hasag on what a kiss is all about. He writes here from the Yavetz that during the time of the Bayi Beis HaMikdash, when the Mitzoyim HaKippurim, the whole Klal Yisrael came to give a kiss to the Kohen Gadol on his hand when he came out of the Kodesh HaKodesh Mitzoyim HaKippurim. The Kohen Gadol did not come home until after Chatzos. Even if Yom Kippur was over at 6 o'clock, it took 6 hours to get out of shul, because the whole Klal Yisrael lined up to kiss the hand of the Kohen Gadol. What?
Svarim.
Doesn't say.
The Svarim kiss your hand.
The Svarim, right. The Svarim, they kissed in the Beis HaKnesses. Okay, so there is something. Okay, another very interesting thing about kissing, the Kolboy was a Rishon. He's quoted all the Minhagim of Davening. A lot of the things that we learned about Davening come from the Kolboy. The Mishnah quotes the Kolboy more often than not. The Kolbo says something very interesting. He says that when you go to a Beis HaKvaros, okay, we go to Beis HaKvaros, the right thing to do is to kiss the Matzeva. When you go to a person's parents, or a tzaddik, you don't just put a stone. Oh, that's for the people who are the lightweights. The real thing that you're supposed to do, you're supposed to kiss the Matzeva. Kosh shalacha shenikbar hames noiflam al kivroi v'noishkim hakever v'afaroi v'hu derech kover hames. Okay, that's the proper thing to do, is to kiss the mace, and he gives them the different gedolim that indeed did this. The Rambam writes that he went to the kivri avos, the Morse Machpelah, the lespal and the shemach, and he writes there. Okay, what does he write? Rambam v'shachil v'chevron. That's the Ram writes. He kissed. He's supposed to kiss the Ars Machpelah. And many gedolim did this. I saw by the Munkash Rebbe, the Munkat Shlita. The Munkash Rebbe Shlita, he writes, when he goes to visit his parents, he kisses their kavarim. So I never saw that. Never saw people put stones, this. But when it comes to Kedoshim, you go to a cave of a holy person, people that die al Kiddush Hashem, that's what you're supposed to do. That's the right thing to do, is to kiss Kvar. All right, we'll stop with this.